Please turn with me this evening in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, beginning at verse 23. You'll notice the subtitle in our ESV versions, which are not biblical, understand. Those are just our ways of conveniently giving them a title and a theme. But it says, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. I think this is a passage we've heard so often, I'm not sure we understand it properly. So tonight we're going to look at this. Mark 2, beginning at verse 23, reading just through to the end of the chapter, verse 28. Congregation, hear the word of the Lord as it is read for you this evening. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? And he said to them, Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priests to eat. And also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. May his Holy Spirit bless it to our hearts here this evening. I draw your attention, even though we'll be looking at all these verses again, but at our text, specifically verse 27, and he said to them, The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Let's ask God's guiding hand upon his word as it's brought forth here this evening. Heavenly Father, indeed, may you teach us even more fully on this fourth commandment. May we understand it aright. May we indeed have a desire to joyfully live out the Sabbath rest, focusing on you and what you've done for us in our great Savior, Jesus Christ. Grant this blessing to us. Lead us ever closer to you. Guide our hearts and our minds that we indeed may be more and more your people. Grant us this grace. In Jesus' name alone we pray. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as you're well aware, there are widely mixed practices and ideas swirling all around us in the broad evangelical church world today concerning the fourth commandment. There are strict Sabbatarians on the one hand who come to church on Sunday but then refuse to do anything else on that day. There are those on the opposite end of the spectrum who claim that because the fourth commandment is the only one of the Ten Commandments that are not specifically restated in the New Testament, that means then that God no longer thinks it important for us to keep the Sabbath day holy. God doesn't care what we do on the Lord's Day, so we can do whatever we want. As long as we come to church for an hour on Sunday morning, well, the day is ours to do with as we please. And as you well know, there are also those who claim that if you want to be the true church of God, then you will no longer worship on the first day of the week. That was a false teaching by the early apostles. We need to go back to the original Sabbath day of Saturday, the seventh day of the week. Then God will bless his church. All kinds of thoughts and opinions on the fourth commandment. Well, beloved, given that cacophony of voices concerning the Sabbath day, just what is God's will for us as New Testament believers in Jesus Christ concerning the Sabbath? How are we to keep it holy? Well, beloved, our catechism tells us. So look, please, in the back of your Psalter hymnals to page 891 at Lord's Day 38. Lord's Day 38, page 891. Now, as you turn to that, beloved, let me say that you will not find in our Heidelberg Catechism a long list of do's and don'ts concerning what is proper and what is improper on the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day. If you are the type who like such long lists, you can turn to the 6 question and answers that are in the Westminster Larger Catechism, which is also found in the backs of your hymnals. I won't tell you the page because I don't want you to look at it now. But we're looking at our Heidelberg Catechism, but it's in the Larger Westminster Catechism, question and answers 116 through 121. They go on and on about what is proper and improper to do on the Lord's Day. It's good reading. But it's also true, beloved, that in our catechism, you will search in vain for a drawn-out exegetical explanation of all of the New Testament texts which show to us that it is proper for us to worship on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, and no longer on the seventh, that it's proper for us to do that. You won't find that in our catechism. And why? It's because that was not an issue in the middle of the 1500s when our catechism was written. No Christian thought we should go back to the seventh day and worship with the Jews. That's giving up on the Lord and what he's done in his resurrection. So that was beyond the pale of our catechism writers. It was not a concern. But beloved, what you will find in our catechism is one succinct question and answer which describes the positive and joyous attitude that we are to have as believers in Jesus Christ as we strive to obey the fourth commandment, to keep the Sabbath day holy. So let's begin where our catechism begins as well. Question and answer 103. What is God's will for you in the fourth commandment? First, that the gospel ministry and schools for it be maintained, and that especially on the festive day of rest, I diligently attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray in the Lord, to the Lord publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. And second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways, let the Lord work in me through his Spirit, and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. This is really a beautiful question and answer that stands before us here this evening, congregation. So that leads us into the first point of the message then tonight, the 3 principles that our catechism sets before us for keeping the Sabbath day holy. 3 principles. The first being an imitation of God's rest at creation. The imitation of God's rest at creation. Now, this is not specifically stated in the answer of our catechism concerning the fourth commandment, but it's derived from the fourth commandment itself. If you turn back just one page in your hymnals, and I'm asking you to do that, just go back one page to question and answer 92, and you'll see where all of the 10 commandments are listed there for us in answer 92. But then notice the fourth commandment. Move down to the fourth commandment, and then go to the very end, the last 6 lines, 6 statements in the fourth commandment, because where God himself gives us there the reason why he wants us to keep one day in 7 as special, holy, set apart, a remembrance of him. So look at that. The last 6 lines there of the fourth commandment. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the 7th day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. God did not bless. God blessed all of his work, but he did not consecrate it as special and unique any of the other 6 days, but that day of rest. Now, beloved, understand, God did not rest on that seventh day of creation week because he was tired. He rested in order to set an example for all of his people, Old Testament age and New Testament age alike, ever afterward, to follow his lead. So the practice of resting, setting aside, making unique one day of your normal weekly work started already in the Garden of Eden as a creation mandate. This means, beloved, that if Adam and Eve had never sinned, we would still be following this pattern of 6 work days, one special day. And this truth, you see, dispels the idea that because the fourth commandment is not specifically mentioned in the New Testament, that therefore God doesn't care what we do on that day. No, this was a creation mandate meant for all eternity. Now, because of sin, the human heart no longer wants to follow this mandate. We don't want to follow God's lead in this. Sabbath rest was long forgotten and neglected by Abraham's children during their 400 years of slavery in Egypt. And that's exactly why the Lord God needed to start out this fourth commandment with the word that he does. Look at it. What's the very first word of the fourth commandment? Remember. Remember how your forefathers told you, yes, generations ago now, Jesus, God speaking to these newly redeemed Israelite slaves, generation after generation, dozens of generations have gone by where they needed to work under Pharaoh's slavery for 400 years, but God says, remember how it used to be, how I made this world to begin with. 6 days of work. One of rest. Remember, God says. Why? Because your fallen, sinful heart will continually tell you, you don't need to rest. You don't need to follow my lead. That you can do anything you want, any day you want. But God says, no. I call upon you to remember. Beloved, we are still being called by God to remember, to imitate him, to set apart one day as holy, unique, and different from the other 6. You know, pagan lands observe no such day of rest from their weekly labors. But wherever the Christian faith has gone and gained a foothold in the culture, honoring the Lord's Day has become a mark of faithfulness for God's people. It's a testimony to the watching world around us. Why do you do what you do on Sunday? It's a sad commentary on current American practice and life that honoring the Lord's Day is now a thing of the past. But because of that, beloved, it should not surprise us then that our Lord's restraining hand against sin and evil is more and more being withdrawn from this land, and that paganism is taking over. Now, having said that, beloved, a Sabbath rest does not mean that we then do nothing all day, which is the point that's being made in the very first half of answer 103. Look at that first half again. First, that the gospel ministry and schools for it be maintained, and that especially on the festive day of rest, I diligently attend the assembly of God's people. So going to church, but why? Look at the 4 things. To learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to the Lord publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Tell me, beloved, with those four guidelines, where else can you do that but in God's house? This is why he calls you to church and to remember. So here's the second principle emphasized by our catechism. Keeping the Sabbath day holy means an application, a doing of spiritual activities. Even while normal earthly activities are set aside so that we can more purposefully, actively focus on and pursue God things. Now we'll look at this more fully in a moment, but this is what our Lord is speaking of in our text when he says that the Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath was made to be a blessing to man, so that man could pursue godly things and find joy in doing them. We lay aside our normal weekly activities that we might more clearly, purposefully focus on divine activities. And notice those four again. Learning from God's word, partaking of the sacraments, making public prayers to God, the giving of our tithes and our offerings. It's a church service, beloved, isn't it? And what a tragic loss is endured by us when the Lord's Day is neglected by us, when we don't do these things. But what a great blessing we receive when we, like the Apostle John on the island of Patmos in Revelation chapter 1, are found to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Notice that phrase, the Lord's Day. Of course the New Testament apostles worship on Sunday. It was the Lord's Day, the day of his resurrection, the day that changed everything. This is why the Lord God set apart this day for us, so that we can dwell on godly things purposefully, intentionally. Listen to how the Lord himself promises to bless those who keep the Sabbath day holy. This is from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. You don't have to turn to it, but write it down if you're taking notes. Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Doing God's things with joy on his special day. So an application of spiritual things on the Lord's day. That's God's will for us in the fourth commandment. Well, thirdly, notice the last half of answer 103. Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways. Let the Lord work in me through his Spirit, and so begin in this life, in my life, the eternal Sabbath. You see how keeping the Sabbath day holy is also a preparation for eternity. It allows us to look forward to that day that is yet coming when we will serve the Lord with gladness, cheerfully, every day of our existence. It's an imitation, an application, and a preparation. Can you hear that in what we've gone through in these first three points? An imitation of God and what he did on the first Sabbath. An application then of God's word to our own lives, dwelling on it, purposefully finding joy in it, and then a preparation for the future that yet awaits us. Coming to God's house on Sunday enjoying the Lord's presence and the Lord's people on the first day of the week. Just as the first part of answer 103 states, this is what allows us then to go out through those doors and enter into that world, a fallen and painful and sin-filled world, admittedly yet, that's true, but that allows us, what we do on Sunday allows us to go forth into that world with gladness and confidence and hope, serving the Lord. Now, yes, as it has always been since man fell into sin, that world out there is a mess. Sometimes our own lives are a mess. But the Lord's grace, purposefully pursued by us on Sunday, strengthens us to take care of the mess. To seek God's favor in doing what is sometimes hard work, so that we can show God's grace to the people around us, Monday through Saturday. And beloved, it is that same divine grace pursued so heartily by us on the Lord's Day is what prepares us for that true and eternal Sabbath that awaits us in eternity. So to summarize all of this, beloved, basically, to forget the Lord's Day is to forget the Lord. On Sunday, believers are called to keep the world out and to keep Christ in. So pursue with joy what Christ would find joy in doing. One of my catechism commentators put it this way, very succinctly. A week without a Sabbath is like a summer without the sun. And how dreary that would be. So the Lord's Day is indeed to be our festive day of rest, our emblem of what awaits us eternally. Well, secondly, here this evening then, congregation, our Lord himself sets forth God's principles for keeping the Sabbath day holy in our text for tonight. So you may put your catechisms away now as we focus now, as we close, on Mark chapter 2. The very first aspect of this second point of the message concerns the context for why our Lord says what he does in verse 27, our text. Now that context begins at verse 23. Take notice of that again. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Now stop there, congregation. The Pharisees, you see, in Jesus' day were the extreme Sabbatarians of that day. They invented a myriad of man-made rules and used them to encircle each of God's Ten Commandments in order to make sure that God's commandment was never violated. Now, that in one sense, that was a good intention. We don't want to break God's law, so let's invent a bunch of man-made laws, build a fence around each one of God's laws, because if you don't break down that fence, you can't ever break God's law. That was their reasoning. Came from good intentions. But as with all good intentions, it did not come with a changed heart. Harvesting grain on the Sabbath was a violation of one of those rules. So they challenged Jesus. Why he allows his disciples to do this, these obviously unholy things. That's the context. But our Lord challenges them and their traditions right back, showing them that in God's word, the law of need takes precedent over the law of ceremony. So all these man-made laws, as good intentioned as they are, couldn't imagine all of the issues, and they did not have a love flowing from them. And this has great application to our own Sabbath observance as well, that the law of need takes precedent over the law of ceremony. Look at verse 25. Verse 25, and he said to them, have you never read what David did? Notice this, when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. Stop there, congregation. There's the historical precedent that Jesus presents to them. It's the second aspect of our Lord's teaching on the Sabbath here. Those 12 loaves of bread that were kept constantly before God on the table of showbread within the tabernacle and then into the temple. According to the Mosaic ceremonial law, that bread was to only be eaten by the priests. And yet in a time of need, when David and his men come to the high priest famished and hungry, he gives it to them to eat. And Jesus, in repeating this Old Testament account, is acknowledging that this was perfectly acceptable in the sight of God, because the high priest gave it out of love. What he could have ate himself, he gives to another. And so the law of need takes precedent over the law of ceremony. In other words, there is such a thing in the eyes of God for his people to do what we in our Reformed tradition call necessary work on the Lord's Day. Necessary work. Doctors and nurses, for example, still need to care for the sick on Sunday. They can't go home on Saturday night and say, well, I hope you make it through the day. I'll be back on Monday. The farmer can't tell his dairy cows, hey, old Bessie, you know, I can't work tomorrow, but hang in there. I'll be back on Monday. The policeman can't say to the whole world and to the bad people in the world, hey, we're not going to be around on Sunday, but we'll be back on Mondays, so I hope you make it. You see, necessary work. We could give another example, perhaps very more practically. During one of our worship services, a destitute and hungry family enters our church asking for assistance, once our deacons establish that indeed this family is truly needy, they haven't ate for days, they need food now, God would expect us on Sunday to bring that family to the grocery store and provide food for them. Now, yes, normally and rightly, we refrain from doing our grocery shopping on Sunday. There are six other days for that. But this needy family didn't come to us on six other days. They came to us on the Lord's Day. So this is a different situation. They are in need right now. In Luke 14, verse 5, our Lord was again confronted about what was proper Sabbath keeping and what was not. And there he uses the example of your ox falling into the ditch. How it's perfectly legitimate in order to preserve that oxen's life and to work to get that oxen out of the ditch, even on the Sabbath day. So you see, our Lord is challenging the Pharisees about their overly stringent traditions, which go beyond what God expects. God expects us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Which leads our Lord then to state clearly what it is that God expects in our text tonight. Verse 27, and he said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Now what is our Lord saying here? Here's the third aspect. Here's the godly principle being set forth. Let's take this phrase by phrase. The Sabbath was made for man. In other words, God designed the Sabbath day to be a blessing, a benefit for his people, to build them up physically and spiritually. Physically, they would be built up and restored because of the physical rest that they would enjoy from their normal, by laying aside their normal manual labors. And spiritually they would be built up because they would take the time of that day, devote their day to focus more fully on the things of the Lord. And so that is what Christ means by this phrase. The Sabbath was made for man. It was made to be a blessing for man. And secondly then, Jesus says, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, God never intended for his Sabbath day to be this endurance test of endless rules and overbearing restrictions. Man will never find joy in following lifeless, dreary regulations. Instead, God's Sabbath is to be a joyous resting in the goodness and grace of God, which has been shown to us in Jesus Christ our Savior because of everything that he's done for us in his perfect life and his sacrificial death. When we focus on Jesus, we will enjoy our Sabbaths. And here's why our Lord is to be the focal point of our observance. Why it is to be the Lord's day. Now, if we do not know Jesus as our Savior, if we do not pay any mind to him, then we will either grow to hate the Lord's day because it so restricts us from doing what we really want to do, or we will just simply ignore God altogether and just do what we want to do and say, who cares about God? So our attitude toward Jesus, you see, will determine our attitude toward Jesus' day. And why? Because the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. So in conclusion tonight, beloved, know that this fourth commandment is still in full effect for us today. It was ordained and instituted by God at creation to benefit us, not to bore us, to be a blessing to us, not a curse, to produce joy and refreshment for our soul, not to frustrate or sadden our heart. So with the Lord of the Sabbath as our own Lord and Savior, may we indeed go out into that world this week, living out the eternal joy that we have in Jesus for all the world to see, looking forward to that great eternal Sabbath rest that awaits us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do come before you thankful that indeed we can find joy in the Sabbath when we find our joy in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath. Father, help us. Help us to do this, for so easily the world overcomes us. The world puts pressure upon us to think we must do this and that before we can ever find rest. Father, work upon our hearts. Show us that our eternal rest awaits us, and help us indeed to worship you aright here on this, the Lord's day. Grant your Sabbath rest to these your people, and as they go out into the world this week, use them mightily as they joyfully and cheerfully serve you. Grant your blessing upon us. We ask you this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.